Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Well, today we're going to conclude our little series that we were doing on Simon Peter, a rock moved by God. And today's message is called Shaken by a Failure to Prepare. Mostly found in Luke 22, and we'll bounce around a little bit. An assistant of Thomas A. Edison once tried to console the inventor over the failure to achieve in a series of experiments what he had set out to find. "It's too bad," he said, "to do all that work without results." "Oh," said Mr. Edison, "we have lots of results. We know 700 things that won't work." Failures are part of the reality of life. Can't really get away from them. And there's a whole host of reasons why we fail at various things in life. So today I want to look at one of the reasons for some serious disappointments in our lives, and also, as we'll see, in the life of Simon Peter as well. It was a failure to prepare properly for what life throws in your path. That's important. And we get hammered sometimes unexpectedly. And many times it's because we're just not prepared properly spiritually for what's happening to us and what's coming our way. This is why we have to prepare ahead of time, not once we get smashed. I don't mean smashed, I mean, you know, hit the wrong way. I spent, 17 or so years of my adult life in the scouting program with my sons when they were little. And then beyond. It's only an hour a week per kid. I don't know. Anyway, I believe in the scout program. I thought it was really beneficial for not only my sons, but for other people's sons as well. And I think you might all remember or know, without even thinking about it, the Boy Scout motto: always be prepared. That's right. So preparation comes in various ways. Here's Davy Crockett's motto. He said, "Be sure you're right, then go ahead." I don't know, the going ahead part, I have that. Not a problem. I go ahead, like Simon Peter, a lot of times, and think afterwards when I realize I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or, you know, something goes on. That surprises me. But being sure that I'm right first, that's the hard part. And that's the part that I hope we can get across a little bit today. Preparing so that we're prepared and ready for what comes our way. In Proverbs 6, it talks about the ant who works diligently to prepare food for the winter. And an athlete prepares by hard work, sacrifice, self-discipline, mentally, physically, emotionally, getting ready for that big event. Preparation pertains to living by faith as well. We try, and sometimes we feel confident that we can handle what's coming, and then we find out that we're not so ready as we thought. We try and we fail, and only if we're properly prepared for the challenges of life will we be able to face them in the grace of God. The night before the cross, Jesus was with his disciples, and twice he warned Peter of coming danger. And Peter ignored Jesus' words and his warning. And this resulted in a major failure for Peter that would impact his life forever going forward. Sometimes the things that come our way are life-changing. Or how we react to them or not can have a deep impact on our own lives going forward. Let's look for a moment at Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30. And the doctor writes this: "Within minutes, they were bickering over who of them would end up the greatest. But Jesus intervened. Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant. Who would you rather be, the one who eats the dinner, or the one who serves the dinner? You'd rather eat and be served, right? But I have taken my place among you as the one who serves, and you stuck with me through thick and thin. Now I confer on you the royal authority my Father conferred on me, so you can eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and be strengthened as you take up responsibilities among the congregations of God's people. From the Message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you have relevant examples to teach us from it. Open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So after Jesus explained that the leaders of his kingdom must be servants of all, he then addresses Peter again. And he says this, "Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I have prayed for you in particular, that you not give in or give out. And when you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start." You hearing what he's saying to him? Does Peter hear what he's saying to him? This was a warning. He gave Peter both an assurance and a means of facing those hard times that were going to come. He said, when you come through these tough times, it's not like it's not going to happen. He's warning him. So assurance. Jesus himself would protect Peter in the testing that would follow, so that even though his heart and his courage might fail, his faith would endure. And the means for facing those times of struggle was found in the example of Christ himself. He had already begun his own preparation through prayer and had prayed for Simon's protection as well. Jesus gave Peter and his disciples another warning the night that he prayed in Gethsemane in the garden. And while he was preparing himself for the horrors of the crucifixion, he warned his followers to pray that you do not give in to temptation. Pray that you do not give in to temptation. If Jesus needed time to pray to face the difficulties that were right at his heels, didn't his disciples also need to do the same thing? And don't we also need to do the same thing? It was so important that Jesus gave him a second warning when he returned and found them sleeping instead of praying. He said, "What business do you have sleeping? Get up, pray that you won't give in to temptation." Twice he had to tell them, but they still kept sleeping. What's your concept of prayer? Do you pray when disaster strikes? Do you pray only when things are going wrong? Do you pray when something happens in your family or someone you know and you cry out in desperation to God? Or do you pray when everything is going well too, giving thanks because he's blessed you? Do you recognize that God is blessing you every day that you are alive? Let's look at Peter's courageous stand and unfortunately his fall. You see, your life can change in the moments of a bad diagnosis or the bad news of something tragic, an incident in your family. Life is transient. We don't know what's going to come down on us without warning. It could be a temptation that we just happen to submit to and fall and then we're sorry and repent and we have regrets. It could be circumstances beyond your control. We don't often cause our own problems on purpose. Things happen. You never know ahead of time what's coming. Paul admonished us as well in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. And he said this, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Powerful. I like the way the Message says that same verse. This is how Peterson writes it. "Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence." Let that sink in a little bit. We cannot face the trials of life spiritually in our own strength. We try, but it just doesn't work. And Peter couldn't either. And I don't kid yourself. I mean, if you think that you can make it through in your own strength and your own abilities, then you're in for a rude awakening and hopefully not a fall. So there's one way that we can prepare ourselves, and that's through prayer and solid study in the Word of God. Can you relate to this? Jesus warned Peter that he was about to be tested by Satan himself. And Peter responded in his typical fashion in Luke 22:33. Peter said, "Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you." And we too, we go out in our own strength and then we get hammered by the enemy and we can't understand what happened or why, but we left ourselves open for it. It shouldn't really surprise us. I do the same thing. So Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him three times before the rooster crowed. Peter didn't believe him. Jesus told him what's going to happen, and he didn't believe him. We look back on things that we read, it's like mind-blowing. And don't we do the same exact thing? Peter showed his commitment to Jesus that night in the upper room, denying that he would ever fall away from God. And Peter showed his commitment to Jesus that night in the garden when he took out his sword and cut off the ear of the guy named Malchus. Jesus healed the man and restored his ear. What? Peter blew it, and he knew it. He thought that Jesus needed him, and he didn't realize how much he needed Jesus. It's amazing. Isn't it the same for us? When we think we can handle things in our own strength, doesn't Jesus show you how much you need him? Peter was self-reliant with his sword, with his strength, and he was unprepared for the situation that happened. How did this happen to Peter? Perhaps it's the same as it happens to us. There's at least two things that contribute to a lack of preparation. One, we underestimate the nature of the situations of life that can overwhelm us in a moment of disaster and our own capacity to betray our Lord in moments of pressure. Flip side, we can overestimate our own ability, savvy, and strength so that we feel no need for the provision of God's resources we so desperately require. We're hanging out there on a limb by ourselves, trying to make it in our own strength. This resulted in the circumstances and personal failures that would shake Peter even more than anything else that happened to him. I don't want to give Peter too bad of a rap here. He was there. He was there for Jesus. He stood up for him. He tried to protect him. Cutting off the guy's ear with his sword, in spite of the fact that he could have been arrested or put to death for doing such a thing in amongst a band of Roman soldiers, and it didn't stop him in his zeal to protect Jesus. He was there. He was there for Christ. While all the other disciples fled after that scene in the garden, it was Peter that stayed behind, followed the procession to the trial, hung out in the courtyard, watching everything that was going on. The others were all gone. We forget these heroic deeds. The thing we remember is that he denied knowing Jesus. Have you ever denied the Lord? I have. It was a bad scene. It might not be a big deal to you, might not have been a big deal at the time to the others that I was with, but it was a big deal to me. And I was on a business trip in the state of Washington. I was going back and forth from Brookhaven Lab to Pacific Northwest Laboratory, and we exchanged programmers with us and I with them, and we got to know each other and become pretty friendly. And so on. And they knew I was a Christian. They know that I went to church because if I was my visit in Washington extended over a weekend, I would always find a church to go to and, you know, enjoy a service on Sundays. And so this one time that we were together, the people that I was with decided to go to a local friend's house. We're going to have a night of playing cards and just, you know, hanging out together, blah, blah, blah. So we all went. There was the five of us at the table playing cards, telling stories. I always have Brian stories to tell. So it's not anyway, so the host of this little gathering at his house starts to tell a story, an army story. And he gets like one sentence into the thing, and he turns to me and goes, "You're not one of those born-agains, are you?" And I was like, "Me? No, don't worry about it. You can tell your story." And at that moment, my heart sank under my seat. I felt like the scene. How could I do that? It just came out so easily. I didn't even think about it. I didn't even think about it. And I wasn't prepared. I didn't pray about the evening. Why would I? I was going to hang out with some people, play some cards, have some fun. What's there to pray about? Out of the blue, I wanted to crawl under a rock and hide. I don't even remember what else happened for the rest of the evening. I don't even remember the guy's story, except it was some kind of prank that they played on these two guys in his barracks that were born-again Christians and used to hang out and read their Bibles instead of partying with the rest of the company. But I don't remember the details, because my mind went into a fog. When I got back to my room, I just cried. I asked the Lord to forgive me. I promised I'd never deny him again. I never have, but it's right there, right on the edge. It could happen to any of us. You're not exempt. You can fall on your face, just like I did. Like I said, it may not be a dramatic big deal story for you, but it was catastrophic to my mind at the time. Unfortunately, it was like 30 years ago, so I've overcome it, but obviously it's still there in the back of my mind. When I was a kid, my mom used to tell us that her father never raised his voice or his hand to the kids if they did something wrong. I lived in the opposite house. I was on the other side of the street. It was hit first, yell a lot, draw blood, whatever it takes. But he never raised his voice, and he never raised his hands to his kids. If they did something wrong, he would just turn and look at them, and they would melt and just cry. My mother was like that. I could see that this was a true story. That's how exactly I felt that night. You know, I knew the story well. We all know the story well. Peter actually denied knowing the Lord three times in the courtyard, the last time with cursing and anger. "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." He doesn't know him. In verse 60 and 62 of this same chapter, it's recorded, "At that very moment, the last words hardly off his lips, the rooster crowed. Just then, the master turned and looked at Peter." And then Peter remembered what the master had said. And he went out and he cried and cried. Just the look. Conviction. It was a tragic scene, and it was so unnecessary. If only Peter was prepared. If only he had prayed. If only he paid attention to the warnings that Jesus tried to give him. But he wouldn't heed or deal with it. And Peter's collapse is the same that faces all of us when we decide that we're rich enough or strong enough and have no need for anything because we can handle it ourselves. Self-sufficiency sets us up, and then it tears us down. We need to fully understand Paul's words when he said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Jeremiah's words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And Jesus' own words, "Without me, you can do nothing." Keep in mind also the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed beyond or past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Those are powerful words. I know that verse from other translations that instantly start to pop into my mind. It's almost hard for me to read it from something else, but God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation will make a way for you to escape. He's there for you. Peter failed to prepare by making use of his spiritual resources, choosing rather to depend on himself. And as a result, he experienced a collapse of a lifetime. It was a seismic shift that shook Peter, the rock, to his core. A failure in human terms that didn't have to happen. If Peter had just trusted the warnings of Jesus and prayed and prepared himself. He struggled with failure throughout his walk with Jesus. And yet, this is the good part. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he seeks out Peter and restores him. Brought him to a place where he could be useful to the Lord. Profitable service for Christ. And soon after that, Peter addresses a huge crowd and tells of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people come to the Lord, come to faith. That's not the same Peter that we knew in a couple of verses before. And he still had these tendencies. You know, he could relate to others who struggled with this kind of thing. However, Peter would move beyond his failings, and he would live out his life in service for the living Christ. And years later, he would write this in his first letter. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce, and you would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not only the ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. Sounds like a totally different Peter, doesn't it? And yet he's referencing things that he experienced and failed at in that verse as he's teaching us to and warning us how to get past that. He was the one that was napping when Jesus asked him to stay and pray. He was the one that didn't stay alert. He was the one that Jesus said, Satan is ready to pounce on you, Peter, but I'm praying for you. And you're going to make it. He learned well the lessons of his past failures. And these verses look back on the old Peter as he gives advice that we can live by today. So, be prepared. That's my message to you. Be prepared. Like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. I have to be inclusive here. Let's pray together. Although we thank you that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all the tools spiritually that we need to be a success in your eyes. We thank you, Lord, that we have prayer, that we can commune with you anytime, any place. And your ear is always attentive to the voice of your children. That's a promise, Lord. We thank you for that promise. I pray, O God, as you minister to the hearts and lives of these your people, that you would instill in each of us that sense of preparedness, that desire to be ready for things that are going to come our way spiritually because we're praying and we're in your word. And you've given us these strengths so we don't have to fail, Lord. We don't have to fail you. Continue to work in our hearts, our lives, We know you love us. Help us, Lord, to be truly committed to you, not just think that we're committed to you. Change us in your presence. Fill us with your Spirit. Protect us. Guard us. And Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Have a great week. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. See you soon. God bless you.